Gmar Khatima Tova.
Well done. You there?
Is that it? You hear me?
Yeah, you broke out a little bit, but yeah, it's Yom Kippur.
I'll say it again. Gmar Khatima Tova.
I'm guessing you're saying happy Yom Kippur.
No, it was saying, I wish you to be inscribed in the book of life.
All right.
Because yes, it is Yom Kippur. And I actually fasted for, about 2/3 of the day.
Good for you. Yeah. I made it till about 10:30.
So. I didn't expect to fast, but my work day ended early. I was like, you know what? I think I can do this. So I did it. That's
good for you. You're a good Jew.
I try.
So we're back. We're locked in. Everybody's locked in. How amazing has the season been so far as this league and everybody's interest in it?
I have to say, you know, I meant to put this in my kind of like wrap up / you know, get ready for the season email. Like, this is by far, in however many seasons we've done it, that is the most efficient and locked in draft that I've ever seen from this league. There was not a single pause from it. Granted, there's some controversy there, but whatever. But still, no pauses. And more than that, like, majority of the people were there till close to the end. Like, it wasn't like, you know, people sometimes would get their starting lineup and then they would go to bed and auto draft the rest. No, people were locked in. You know, I got, you know, my backup running back got snagged because people were still paying attention. Like, and I think it made it really exciting. You know, like, I think it makes it a lot more competitive, you know, and I think people will be a little bit more in tune this year. So I thought it was awesome.
I agree. And some people did kind of leave towards the end, but it was in a reasonable fashion. Some people joined at the end in an unreasonable fashion. What do you think of of Joey and all his drama so far early on in the season?
I mean, I'm not going to knock him for, you know, being quote unquote present for the Zoom, but not present. I mean, he takes this seriously. And as we saw, the man can't do two things at once. Once he put on the Zoom, you know, things got getting complicated for him. So that's fine. What I don't quite understand is that I'm pretty sure he didn't draft someone for the first hour. So why couldn't you be on the Zoom during that time? But anyway, I'll leave that aside.
That is a good question. I think every player that got nominated, he thought he had a chance of getting them for under $30. Because anytime it got anywhere near 30, he disappeared.
I mean, his strategy.
So I think he went into it. Saying, I'm going to get one I can that's under $30.
Yeah. He made it. He's done the same strategy every year. Like, he gets kind of like the middle of the road players. And that works out in some regards because, like, eventually he's the one sitting there with a lot more money left. So he can outbid people for, like, those good deals that people are trying to get. But you need to have a lot of, you know, lottery tickets kind of, you know, outperform their way because we'll see how it plays out. I personally, that's the complete opposite of how I like to do my draft. I like to blow my load on a few players and fill it in where I can and, you know, work the waiver wire throughout the season. So we'll see.
Yeah, it is definitely two different strategies. But I think I found out from the draft that he, you know, self-admitted that he can't do two things at once. And I'm going to keep heckling him all year long. So happened to be him picking or putting someone on IR that was a healthy scratch. And I stirred the pot. And I know that's going to get under his skin. And I'm going to keep attacking him because, you know why? He's got as many championships as me. And I don't want to take that title away from me. So I'm coming at you, Joey. I'm coming at you. I'm going to stir the pot. I'm going to get in your head. I'm dancing in your head right now as you listen to this on your commute to work.
I don't understand the move. And I don't understand it for multiple reasons, all right? Number one, he had a player he could put on there, which was Odell Beckham, who legit was inactive because of an injury. So he could have done that. Number two, he inactivated a player but didn't pick anyone up for it. So, like, he did it, but it didn't gain anything. And number three, you just should know better at the end of the day. Like, you should know better. So.
So here's my theory. Is he saw that Sermon wasn't playing, and his gut reaction was, all right, I'm going to put him on the IR. And as soon as I got an email saying that he did that, I replied back. So I'm thinking that he was going to make that move, saw that what he was doing was wrong, and didn't continue doing it. Because I literally responded instantly when I saw the email saying that he put him on the IR. So I don't know if that played a factor in it. And then that game was the first set of games. And then the Odell one was the second set of games. And there I am, him just flustered. And I'm going to do a fucking Irish jig in his head all season.
That, it's called gamesmanship. And Weitzman knows gamesmanship better than anybody. So
he's still not coming out. And he's not talking about it. Like, dude, he knows, just like Jeff said, he reads every message. And then he's waiting for a timely response. Joey, what you got to say? Come on. That's my side of the story. And if you don't defend it, that's gonna go down as facts.
I mean, this is Weitzman. You're not gonna get a response until he's ready to do it. And you know what? Man's got some patience. So
yeah, he does.
Buckle up.
All right. Where do you wanna start? You wanna start with some of the recaps from last week?
Yeah, let's wrap up what in the week that was. The week that was.
All right. The week that was. First, are you back in the same situation as last year where you're not watching the games and you're just checking your phone for updates?
For the most part. I mean, I was working like a dog all day Sunday. Like, I didn't get home till 8:30. So all I was doing was checking my phone for stuff. But, you know, I have a lot. I get a lot of insight from that. So.
Yes, you. There's tons of data and analysis to be found on the internet on Sundays throughout the day. Let's start with as we're talking about Joey and his. I would say it's a big win for him. I think Jared's team was pretty solid from top to bottom, and Joey put up a kind of average game. 120 is maybe a little bit below. Obviously, he didn't get victory point. So we got a big win because Jared Steen didn't show up. What are your thoughts on that, man?
I mean, this was a very low scoring affair. I think they might have, outside of Costa, these might be the two lowest scores of the week. So it was just not a great showing from either team. I think Weitzman might have the best 1-2 quarterback situation if Jalen Hurts keeps this up. And I say if, because I know a lot of people are in on him, but they played the Falcons, which are terrible. So I want to see him do it again with his legs and his arms again before I buy in on that. You know, he struck some bad luck with Ayuk and putting up a goose egg, which was unfortunate. But, you know, Weitzman's running backs are terrible. So it's going to be hard for him to put up 140 consistently with that running back core. This might be kind of where we're seeing Weitzman's team kind of lay out right now. Whereas Turbin's team, as you alluded to, I think that there were a lot of underperformers on the team. As far as, you know, he's got some pretty solid, you know, Robinson should put up better numbers than that. And obviously he had some bad luck with Mostert. But I don't know what he's going to fill that in with necessarily. But, you know, McCaffrey's a stud. Josh Allen will put up better numbers than that in the future. So, I mean, I think there is more potential with Turbin's team going forward versus Weitzman's team. I think this is kind of – it is what it is. That's how I take it away.
Right, and like I said, he got a big win because he didn't put up that many points and got the W. Yeah, but But the victory point that he did not get might come back to haunt him. Moving on, the game against Josh and myself, I was pretty much ahead from beginning to end because I had Brady and Antonio Brown on Thursday night, and he kind of was clawing back. It did get kind of close on Monday night. I doubt anyone was really paying attention. Maybe Josh was, but Darren Waller was like a touchdown at the end away from reclaiming, taking the lead. So I think Josh's team has got some bright spots, but he also has some pretty big some hurdles to overcome. Like Joey, his running backs are pretty weak. If Jameis can keep it up, and Burrow should be pretty solid. He's got some decent quarterbacks and then underperformers, just like Turbin. Devontae Adams obviously didn't show up, what do you think about those two teams?
Yeah, I mean, Bassinger's running backs might actually be worse than Weitzman's, and that's going to hurt him going forward. Unless, you know, running back is the one position that people pop up on the waiver wire, so that could be helpful. Everything else is pretty solid, and Darren Waller he might actually score more points than Kelsey by the end of the season if he gets 19 targets a game every single game. And he looked the
part.
And I selfishly want that to happen because that means Derek Carr is playing well because he's on my team as well. So that's the glaring weakness on Bassinger's team. And, you know, your team got out to a hot start. I mean, you know, if you look beyond the numbers, Antonio Brown didn't run as many routes as the other receivers. But at the end of the day, he ran great routes. So he doesn't necessarily need to run that many routes if he's going to beat people because, you know, him, his character aside, he's probably the best route runner, you know, probably one of the top five best route runners in history. He gets open like crazy. Like that touchdown, like it was like a slight hesitation that he did and he burned by him. Like he is ultra talented. There's a reason he's been the best receiver and that I always blew my load to get him on my team because he is that special of a player. And Tom Brady loves the guy. So I think you might have a steal there, and that that could be the difference maker for your team going forward compared with the rest of the players you got on your team.
I agree with everything you say there with about Brown. The one thing that always comes back is that there's so many miles to feed, and it's going to be like 1 week. Like last week was pretty much Godwin game. He's the one that got all the targets. If he didn't have those fumbles and those, you know, some of those plays that drop pass, like he has a mind. Game, and I think it's going to kind of rotate between an Evans game, a Brown game, Godwin game, and the fact that wasn't a Brown game and he still got the five catches for targets, which is encouraging to me because there's going to be a week where because Tom takes what the defense gives you. If, you know, next week they're going to try to take out Godwin and they have to say, let's let Brown beat us, you know, or if Brown just dominates his matchup, then he's going to get 12, 13 targets. And it's going to be all right, moving forward with those guys, the Costa, who probably has the worst fantasy luck of all time.
There's a couple other things I want to say about your team.
Number
two, the Ravens backfield, you got both components. We'll see how it shakes out. The Ravens love to run the ball. You know, so there's a chance that, you know, one of those two ends up being a fantasy stud by the end of the season. And the other thing is Jalen Waddle looks really good. And that could be a starter going forward for you.
He was my late draft pick, like guy that I had in both my leagues. That I was pretty high on, and I almost started him week one, and then the Tyson kind of thing fell in my lap. But he was originally my plan after the draft was done, and I was going to play him. And I want to play him this week, but he's got a tough matchup. But I think he's going to be a startable guy every week. And same with LaVisca Chenault. I think the targets are going to be there. The Jags are going to be down, and he's a guy that's going to get a lot of garbage time points.
Yeah. I stayed away from Waddle because I don't like Tua. and Will Fuller is there. Will Fuller can't stay on the field, so but I think he could be could have been a steal.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Moving forward. I started talking about how Costa and how much bad luck he has. Fantasy, he's already got dealing with injuries. And he just guys. Ready to compete. He is fully engaged. Blew his load on Eli and has got a pretty solid lineup. Especially one. Fields gets a starting gig. Him, if Fields can put up some fast numbers, him and Dak are going to be a pretty good 1-2 punch, and he's pretty solid all around.
Yeah, I mean, going back to Costa and his bad luck, like, I mean, how many players can you lose before this season and week one? I mean, you know, we can get the waiver wires later, but he just rehauled the whole team, and he needed to. You know, it sucks, you know, to lose. You know, when you're in a two quarterback league and basically every quarterback has been drafted and you lose your one of your quarterbacks week one, it's a big hole to you know, sink out of. So all the luck to you, Costa.
Hopefully. He's got such bad luck that he's got such bad luck that he can't even hear criticism from you because he kept cutting in and out.
Yeah. And then
that pretty much sums it up for me. I'm not even gonna edit that out. Cool.
And then Myers. Oh, am I cutting in and out still?
No. Yeah, I can hear you now. But when you were talking about Costa, it was cutting out.
Jeez, I'm trying to find the best place to do this in my house. Who would have known that it would be so hard to find? I've been moving around half of this podcast to tell you the truth to find the best place. So I think I found one.
Well, wherever you were when you were talking about Costa, don't go back.
Myers team, you know, if Fields comes on, but, you know, Dak is the real deal. I don't know what to make of Najee Harris. Obviously they played a tough defense, but there's been a lot of talk about how bad that offensive line is. I mean, he's going to get the ball, but if he can't go anywhere, I don't know how good that's going to be. Mike Evans, these are the game. He's honestly, Mike Evans is a boomer bust receiver now. He's either getting you 20 points or he's getting you 3. Like,
because all he really does is catch touchdowns. But he can do it. He can get 3 in a game.
It's so crazy. That's not what he was with Jameis Winston, but that's what he is with Brady, and I don't understand it. But and obviously Cooper Kupp, we had a nice connection with Stafford during that game. I think he'll be good. So Myers' team is overall pretty solid. So pretty good. Pretty good going there.
All right. That is it from that division. Any after week one, any favorites coming out of Bassinger's division? We got to come up with some names too of these.
Honestly, I don't right now. I think there's still a lot to see out there to see what's gonna happen. I don't have a favorite right now. It's too early for me.
What do you think? Moving on to about what?
No, I was saying, would you have a favorite out of that division right now?
I think it's Daniel. I think Cooper Kupp in a few wide receiver, Montgomery. Look great, and then if Fields is, you know, that fantasy, he's almost like a Dak. He can run and throw, and maybe a little slight edge over myself and Turbin.
All right.
Your division though, you got a pretty much a. The shit end of the matchup. You put up a pretty decent score. You lost to Steve, who was locked in and active as well. I think he made a midday move on Sunday, which is very rare for Steve. So he's locked in and paying attention. He upgraded from Cole Kmet, who actually got a lot of target and was part of the offense, to Tyler Higbee, who looks like undrafted could be a startable tight end.
Yep. You know, The bottom line is, I had some, you know, some receivers that didn't show up like I expected them to. And it is what it is, you know. I think my team is going to be fine going forward. I personally think my team is going to outkick the projection that Costa gave. I think it's all overall pretty solid. I have more faith in Sam Darnold than anyone else, but he looked good, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, you're buying it into the narrative of Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, and Derek Carr leading you to a championship?
Yeah, because I spent big. You know, you can't argue that my running back and wide receiver and tight end is not pretty solidified. So something's got to last. And, you know, a great quarterback's going to put up between 30 to 35 a week, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, and then you're looking at close to 40 a week. And then a pedestrian quarterback should really be putting up 20 to 25. So the difference between the quarterbacks is not nearly as big as looking at, you know, top running backs. So I'll take that difference.
Fair enough. I like it. So talking about Steve's team, I mean, he had a couple of underperformers. Aaron Jones did absolutely nothing for him. Yep. Everyone else had big days, but he's got Jamar Chase looked great. We'll see if he continues to stay engaged in the season. Cause after a couple of L's, there's a few guys in this league after they get a couple of L's and they're not in the top tier, they check out and let's hope that he sticks around. Cause if he does, he's got some pieces.
All those people let's go, that check out are going to be in my division too.
if everyone's still in it, yeah, I know. Check out. You squandered an opportunity to take advantage of that.
I know. You know what kicked me in the butt? I drafted the Saints defense and then I dropped them because I was like, oh, I've got to play in the Packers, and I picked up the Dolphins defense. And if I would have kept the Saints defense, I would have won. So.
Oh, man.
What are you going to do? That's why we play the game.
Uh-oh. I think it might be don't make moves, man. Just stay the course, Aaron. You're going to drive yourself crazy. All right, moving on. Fred. Fred's team looks pretty good. Meetle made a furious comeback but fell short. I thought for sure with Monday night was Lamar versus Josh Jacobs, and that Meetle was going to have a great comeback victory. He had pretty much everyone perform except for another first, you know, round talent. Ezekiel Elliott didn't do much. And Fred got some huge plays from his wide receivers. But he's lacking. I don't know what he's lacking. He had no show from Barkley. He's got a pretty nice squad. What are your thoughts on those two teams?
I mean, Gronkowski, could he do that every week? Yes. Is he going to? I really don't think so. I think.
I'm sorry, man. You're cutting in and out. You sound like a buffoon. You were just cutting in and out. You're like, I don't know. I just don't know.
That wasn't the connection. That was me actually stuttering as I was thinking and talking. So that wasn't the connection. Oh, that was me.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
Because I heard myself doing that. But anyway, I remember I used to see that I was watching the game, and that play where Gronk scored, I think, his second touchdown, where he just kind of released in front of everybody. And when Collinsworth was explaining it and just like how that wasn't necessarily designed that way, but Gronk read the defense and basically called an audible based on what the defense was doing, and Brady read it and he threw it to him. Like their connection is just unbelievable. So I say that because, sure, you know, Gronk can do that, but I don't think he's going to. And so it's going to, you know, that's going to hurt if that's going to be your tight end going forward. I don't think Thielen puts up all those points every week. He's a touchdown machine, but he's not putting up the yardage like he does anymore. So I think Fred's got a nice floor. We'll see. I mean, he also had Tyler Lockett on his bench. He didn't start. So he's got someone and Devontae Smith.
He's got some depth. So he's got some depth. He only played one quarterback last week, and he started Devin Singletary, I'm assuming, over him. I don't know if that's the greatest choice. I know that Moss was out, but against Pittsburgh run defense. And not starting Lockett. I mean, he's got options. He's just got to make the right decision. Good luck, Fred. I hope you do, because you definitely have a lot of depth on your team.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth there.
And Mitchell, thoughts on his squad?
It's pretty solid.
DeAndre Hopkins is amazing.
I feel like Hopkins is on Mitchell's team every year now. I think he's had him like 3 or 4 years in a row. If Swift is
amazing to watch. He is so talented.
I know. How dumb are the Texans? You just let him go. You know?
Yeah.
But if this game is more of what we expect going forward, Swift paired with Zeke is going to be a good background and a good foundation at the running back. So and he has Jamal
Williams. Yeah, and his quarterbacks are
I was just going to say, you know, the Lions offense might just be Goff throwing to Hockenson, Williams, and Swift, and that's it.
Definitely.
There could be a chance that you could play all those. You really do the quarterbacks. I'll let you, go ahead and talk about his quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. I was saying Lamar Jackson and his rushing ability and Stafford. I feel like the sky's the limit with his Rams and Kupp and Woods. And McVay and his offense. He's never really the only thing that he's missing is in Detroit. He was always put up good numbers because for the same reasons of Swift and his garbage time points where their Lions are trailing their 2 minute drill. The Rams are going to be running up the score on teams, I think, and he might not be playing in the fourth quarter. I think his quarterbacks are pretty solid with Lamar and Stafford.
Yeah, I was in a bidding war with him for Stafford, and I decided I didn't want to spend too much on a quarterback, or I didn't want to spend that much on a quarterback that wasn't a top tier. Maybe I should have kept going for it. So, good on you, Mitchell, for outbidding me. Also, you know, let's not talk.
Or maybe you're on. Maybe you're.
We'll see how it plays out. I've done this song and dance before. I had a year where I had Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff. Didn't work out too well. But another thing to keep an eye on is he also has Mike Williams on his bench. And so Mike Williams, we've been waiting for breakout from him. Was this one off, or is this the year where he actually like steps up to be a reliable playmaker week in and week out? So if he does,
Yeah. And again, him and Fred both kind of left some points on the bench. He started Jalen Reagor over Mike Williams.
I don't know if I would have started Mike Williams. I mean, Mike Williams is not, up until this game, he just scores
a long touchdown. I was just looking at who started, Jalen Reagor. I mean.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know if I would have. Yeah.
All right. I think we're on to our last matchup. The team that everyone's chasing after right now, rolling with Mahomes. That's going to be tough every week, man, because Mahomes and Tyreek Hill are going to good chance of getting him 50, 60 points every week, guaranteed.
I didn't realize this, that he had put together that stack during the draft. It's a big one to beat. It's going to be tough. The questions are like, are Brandon Cooks and Deebo Samuel going to be this good week in and week out? My personal opinion is no. I think the Texans can't play the Jaguars every week, so
There's no chance that Deebo will put up those type of numbers. San Francisco spreads the ball around too much. Brandon Cooks, on the other hand, I can see him. good chance Brandon Cooks can give him 15 to 20 points every week, just because he's, I mean, he's a 1,000-yard receiver wherever he goes, so he's a guaranteed lock for 1,000 yards. Tyrod Taylor is way underrated. He just had some bad luck in Cleveland because they had his replacement and San Diego getting stabbed by the doctor. So I think Tyrod's pretty underrated quarterback, and I think Cooks is definitely above average wide receiver. So I like that one for consistency. But looking at his bench, too, you got Watson, who might not play this year. You got Taysom Hill and Goff, three quarterbacks. So he's got no depth at any other position.
That's a very good point. That is a very, very good point. So, I mean, he's one injury away from, this all falling apart with nothing to really, put in place, essentially. But it's a hot start.
Grant had a tough week. I mean, Rodgers doesn't have a one-point game.
Yeah. Ooh. Brutal.
Yeah. I saw a stat where he was the 35th ranked quarterback in week one.
I heard that
means three quarterbacks scored more points than the team didn't even start.
Yeah, Justin Fields is one of them. Trey Lance is the other one.
Right.
I don't know who the third one is.
And I think there's one more. And then
Taysom Hill, maybe? No. He only had 0.2. Redskins. Oh, yeah. No, wait. Who?
The Redskins, Heineke.
No, but Fitzpatrick.
Heineke.
Fitzpatrick only had 0.7 points.
Oh, Fitzpatrick didn't score more than him?
No.
I just assumed he scored more than him.
No. I don't know who would have been then. No clue. But anyway, I'm still, and the other thing that hurts him is that, Tennessee just laid an egg, and he had two big pieces of the Tennessee offense with Henry and A.J. Brown. I think this is a one-off for Tennessee. I think they just got smacked in the face by a much improved Arizona defense. Chandler Jones just, he by himself destroyed that offense. So I think there are better days ahead for Tennessee. I still am high on Grant's team. We were talking earlier in the week, and Grant's, thinks his team's in the dumps. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think Grant's, I think that CEH has a better games than this one. They were behind. They weren't running the ball. So I think Grant's still got a solid team.
I do too. I don't think he has anything to worry about. For someone that was in that 120 range where we talked about the bottom of the points, I think his team is the one with the least worries, followed by Joey's team probably, but because of his quarterback play. Yeah. So you got some prognoses for us?
I do. It's time to go bring back the prognosis corner. So start with my prognosis positive. So my prognosis positive is actually going to be for Trey Sermon. Now, I know what you're going to say. It's all going to be the Eliza Mitchell show going forward. They were high on him. He's a third or fourth round pick. Trey Sermon was inactive, yada, yada, yada. Well, Mostert's hurt now. I'm pretty sure Sermon's going to be active this week. The reason that Trey Sermon was inactive is because Eliza Mitchell and Hastings both play on special teams. Trey Sermon does not. They only activate three-quarter running backs. I think Sermon ends up being the best running back of everyone on that team this week, and I'm predicting 75 yards and a touchdown for him.
This week?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a pretty quick turnaround. I think he got benched because he's not as good as the other two, and I think – Elijah's going to have he's going to be the lead back, and then Hastings is going to probably be the goal line back, and then Weston is going to be used to spell him. I don't see him breaking out this soon, but I can see it happening down the line.
That's my bold prediction this week.
That's pretty hot take.
I know. There was in my other league, someone dropped Trey Sermon. I scooped him up immediately. In that other league, someone also dropped Brandon Ayuk, scooped him up immediately. So
Yeah.
You know,
Brian, panicking.
People are cutting bait on things way too soon. So my prognosis, negative, is going to be Tua. I do not think Tua is a good quarterback at all.
He played pretty well against a good defense last week.
I think he's holding that team back. I just don't see it. He's like a game manager, and maybe that's all they need in Miami. But I think it's gonna be bad week for him. I think he's gonna only throw for 165 yards.
They play Pittsburgh, right?
Yep, and zero touchdowns. So
see, that's not that hot of a take as your other one, but I that one probably will hit.
But I mean, I'm predicting 165 yards total throwing. That's it.
Well, he threw 200 last week.
No, they're not playing Pittsburgh. They're playing Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo, another good defense, but
yeah. No, but he also had a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown. No touchdowns for him this week.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's hot.
Yeah, it's hot. That's a hot take.
Don't burn yourself on the takes.
All right. Are we gonna talk about this week's matchups?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Or actually, are there any waiver wire moves that intrigued you?
Oh man.
Real quick.
We have obviously Daniels went all in. I didn't look at who bid for what. I put 2/3 of my budget, I think, 120 or something on there. Guessing I was in the top few of bids. Did you look to see who else bid on Eli?
I did before. I'm not looking at it now, but it was a lot. There were people that, there were a couple in the hundreds, and then a couple people in the 40s and 50s. So everyone was all in on it. My personal, I don't know. I personally think it's fool's gold. Fool's gold. We know what we get with a San Francisco backfield. You know?
Right. Yeah,
Elijah Mitchell could easily be a thing of the past in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think it's his job
for now, yeah.
To lose. I don't know why you think Sermon's gonna come in and get enough volume. I mean, like Elijah, he had 19 carries for 100. It's not like spectacular stat line.
I'm not saying that they're gonna that they're planning to give him the ball. I'm saying that he's going to – they've always taken the hot hand approach there. Like, they get different people involved, and whoever's having the game ends up getting the majority of the carries. That's how San Francisco operates. My prediction is that Trey Sermon's going to be that hot hand. You know? At the end of the day, he was the number two running back for most of preseason. Him being inactive that week was a shock to literally everybody. So it's not like – they've been down on him all preseason and all of a sudden like, oh, you know, I'm this out of nowhere. No, they weren't down on him the whole preseason. Something happened, whether that's he was surpassed or they're like, you know what? I heard they only have three running backs active for game day and Mostert doesn't play on special teams. The other two did and Sermon doesn't. So now Sermon's going to be active this week. And my prediction is he's going to make the most of his opportunity. That's where I'm getting it from.
Other moves. Costa put a lot of money on Heinicke, who is putting up like 12 points so far tonight. I don't know if he was worth 27. I think he chased Christian Kirk. Two touchdowns probably cost him $15 more on bids. If he had one touchdown last night, he could have got him for cheaper. I scooped up Tyrod Taylor. I mentioned him earlier that I think he's an underrated quarterback.
I agree with you. If you remember, I had him on my team last year, actually, because I right on there. And honestly, I forgot about when we were drafting. He wasn't up in there. I may have drafted him potentially over Derek Carr for my last quarterback, had I been thinking clearly, because he runs too.
Yeah. So. And their defense is bad, so they're going to have a lot of garbage time points. Yeah, and he's
I think people forget how he led the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs with like I mean, he was throwing to like Sammy Watkins, who played a couple games. Like, that was literally it. And although Sean McCoy was on the team, that was it. So.
Yeah, and more Costa moves. Mark Ingram was a give me someone who's got a lot of volume. I don't care if he's old and on a bad team. Pick up, but you can't blame him for taking him. Jared Cook, who I put a bid in for, and I probably didn't bid enough because I have Kittle, but Cook looked perfect in that offense. That's a good pickup by Costa.
Yep.
And then Baster picked up Tony Jones. Maybe he's hoping for a Kamara injury, but he's not startable unless Kamara goes down. You took Nelson Aguilar. I'll let you speak on that.
I think Mac Jones is the real deal, and you know, I watched a little bit of him in the highlights of him in the preseason. Like, he looks comfortable in the pocket. They're gonna throw the ball, and you know, Aguilar clearly didn't gel in Philly, but like, he had himself a season there in Oakland. Jacoby Myers, that everyone's been talking about, but he's like a possession receiver. He maybe gets a couple touchdowns. Aguilar is going to be the guy that they look for. So, and he had a good game last week, and I'm starting him this week. I drafted him in my other league, and I think he was the best receiver available on the waiver wire.
Good luck with that.
Yep.
I recall you maybe not talking about wide receivers, maybe New England running backs staying away from, but you never made a declaration of staying away from wide receivers.
No, I didn't.
But after Aguilar gives you a goose egg next week, maybe you'll stay away from him.
Possibly, if he gives me a goose egg, then I'm wrong on him. But I don't think he will. I mean, we have a different quarterback back there, and let's be real. No one else on that team in the receiving core has put up and it's not like Aguilar has put up great numbers. But no one has put up numbers like even close to what he has put up in the NFL so far. Everyone else is just names.
And then last Turb picked up Sterling Shepard, who I think decent. I think that's a pretty good. He's a possession receiver. He's not going to give you a goose egg like Aguilar will at some point this season. I'll tell you that much. But he also can't stay that healthy.
I've had Sterling Shepard in so many different leagues, so many different times, and every time, no one drafts him, and then at some point in the season, it happened in week one versus like week five, he has a blow up game, pick him up, and you're like, oh, this is the year he's gonna win me my fantasy league. No, he's not.
What do you think his stat line is tonight?
Last time I checked, he had few receptions. Yeah, I think four receptions for 46 yards. So based on what you're saying, I'll guess 7 for 75.
9 targets, 9 receptions for 94 yards.
Okay.
That's a pretty nice floor.
All right. That is much better than I expected. So
okay. Yeah. And if he found the end zone last week, I didn't bid more than $3 on him, but that's you can upgrade some of your shitty wide receivers and pick him up. So I think that was a decent move. And then last one, Joey Tim Patrick, who I felt like every time I watched a highlight last game, it was him catching a pass. He's a big dude. And now Judy's out. I think he could step up, but I would never trust to be like, oh, Teddy Bridgewater is going to light up whatever defense he's playing. He played the Jaguars last week. That's going to be his best game of the year. That's all I got to say on
waiver wire. They didn't play the Jaguars last week.
Oh, they played Jaguars this week. They played who they play last week?
They played the Giants last week.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I take that back. But yeah. But anyways. That's my point.
You know, I think that with Judy down, I think Sutton is going to be consistent. Tim Patrick's been there for a few years. He's going to have great games and he's going to have terrible games. I don't know. It's going to be hard to predict. Bottom line.
And that's that about waivers. How about we talk about the game this week?
Let's do it.
And I mentioned to you that I was on tilt before this started. Gibson is not getting the workload volume that I expected. and he is just going to be another running back if that's the case. J.D. McKissic is catching 56-yard passes here in the fourth quarter. Hopefully, Gibbs can find the end zone late here for the Redskins win. But I'm playing against Taylor Heineke, who, how do you say his name?
Heineke.
Who put up a 15.84 right now with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Oh, touchdown! So he put up some more points. Fantastic. Ricky Seals-Jones scores a touchdown. Washington has now taken the lead. So now I'm starting to get nervous. Now he just put up a 20-pointer for his fantasy from his quarterback, and I got 7 from my running back. I don't like that feeling. What do you think is going to be the outcome of our matchup?
It's going to be a good one. I don't know, man. I think I'm going to give the slight edge to you because I think that there's a James White, Christian Kirk, I'm a little down on. I think that the Tennessee and Green Bay are going to come back with a fury. So everyone's going to put up a lot of points there. So I'm going to give a slight edge to you this week. But it's going to be close.
Yeah, I think I had the slight edge going in. But now that Heineke outperformed what he was expected to do and Gibson laid an egg, it's kind of evens the playing field a little bit. I need to put away people when I can. If Costa goes 0-2 with 0 victory points, it's be a lot better feeling than being all knotted up. So, moving on, let's talk about some Josh and Joey. Another pretty big battle. Josh got the victory point, so he's 1 point behind Joey. And looks like it's going to be another close one. Joey, I think, Josh is going to be a beneficiary of what you commented about. Green Bay is going to light up Detroit. They always do in Green Bay. Monday night, Aaron Rodgers is going to make a statement. Devontae Adams is going to have a monster game. Jameis, I think, is going to continue doing what he does. And I don't like any of Joey's players minus his quarterbacks. And I don't know if he can get enough points from them, too. There's really, really nobody that I'm like, ooh, he can have a game. Tim Patrick, maybe.
I agree. I think all the running backs in these matchups. Could someone go off? Yes, but none of them are consistent. But I think Devontae Adams, CeeDee Lamb, and Darren Waller are all just studs. I give an edge to Bassinger.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if Joey can hold him off and get another lucky win. I feel like he had a lot of those last year too, where just like put up a subpar performance, got the W, and just kind of figured it out until his team started to fall into place. But
yep, you just kind of screw on the radar.
I'm gonna make sure that he's not. What's this over here? Another big matchup was gonna be Daniel and. Turb had high expectations coming in after week one. Some people were saying he had the best draft, best overall, well-rounded team, top to bottom, yada, yada, yada. I don't know who said that. Maybe someone said that. Maybe Turb said that. I don't know. Who was the number one? Yeah, I didn't say it either, but I feel like someone mentioned it. Respect to Turb. He always drafts well, but just kind of fizzles out towards the end of this year. But he can't afford to go 0-2 against Daniel's team. I think he pulls it off this week. I think, like we talked about, studs that didn't have a big week one. Josh Allen should have a rebound game. I like Cortland Sutton with Judy out against a bad Jacksonville defense. Cincinnati's defense gives up points. Tennessee's got lit up last week, so I feel like obviously there's Christian McCaffrey. Even though he's going against good defense, who shut down Aaron Jones last week, he's still as Christian McCaffrey is. That's why he's the tier above Aaron Jones. He should still give him probably 20 points. And then, like I said, Joey's team or Daniel's team, the long run, I think, once he gets his, if Fields turns into be
the stud that he is, and if Mitchell grabs a hold of that starting spot, then let launch him. But this week, again, just like me, I kind of pulling for him to put away those teams and put some separation into us, because this year, the season, the schedule is a little bit different. You're going to have two games in a row against your division, and then so every third week you're going to play the other division. So that's why this week you can really put some separation between some teams, and then you get next week the inter-division games. So week 3, 6, 9, and 12 will be inter-division games, just to throw that out there. Any thoughts on this matchup?
Props to you for arranging the schedule that way, because that's a I think it's nice to have you know, that kind of like underlying, you know, game in the game, yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, it's an underappreciated thing that you do for the league. So mad props.
No problem. I enjoy it. I do think it does make the season, the schedule more interesting, and it definitely gives you an opportunity to separate from the teams in your division. But back to this team, do you think?
I'm going to give them the edge to Myers. I think Najee Harris and David Montgomery both have solid games. The quarterbacks are both going to have solid games as well. And Evans going against the Falcons, you know, Brady's pretty good, you know, about keeping people happy on the team. Evans did nothing last week. I think it's going to be a big Mike Evans game this week.
He definitely gets an end zone. That's, I don't know how many yards, but he'll find the end zone.
I just hope they have two touchdowns. And Hockenson looked great. So I'm going to give that to Myers' team.
All right, moving on, let's jump into your division. We'll talk about your team right away. You get the Sneaky Dicks, who, like I mentioned before, have some top-notch quarterbacks that will always be keeping his team in it. He needs Zeke to show up for him. I think Hopkins is a guarantee. Should be interesting. He's got that Mike Williams in the lineup this week. As for your team, you got to live or die by your stars, and based on what I've seen, they'll keep you in it. You already got a very holy cow. You already got a good performance from Terry McLaurin, so you're off to a good start. And I think you'll handle your business, even though Nelson Aguilar might give you a goose egg.
I don't think he will. They're playing the Jets. I'm not
sure. I mean, yeah, they might be able to run all over them and not even need to. I don't know. I'm just like hoping that happens. Wish that into existence. Speak into existence. I'm assuming you have your particular team to win.
I mean, after McLaurin's performance, I feel a lot better about it. My quarterbacks don't have great matchups, and they're not top-tier quarterbacks. Good. So they could easily put up each less than 20 points, which will hurt a lot. But I'm hoping that the players I spent money on come through like they're supposed to. So,
yeah.
And then the Cleveland Browns defense is going to, you know, just take Tyrod down all day long.
This is a big matchup I was talking about in our division, in my division, where – you guys are both 0-1 without, or does Mitchell have a victory point? So yeah, this is like I said, you don't want to be falling to 0-2. So this is a pretty big matchup. You got off to a pretty good start there with McLaurin, but I would hate to have to talk to you next week and have you be sitting at 0-2.
It could happen. You know, there's a lot of times where you start off hot on Thursday night and then team falls flat and you just wind gets out of your sail very quickly.
On to the premiere, the prime time, the flex. Let's flex this one in the Sunday night matchup. Rolling Mahomes 1-0 versus Fred Souvenir 1-0. Who you got?
I mean, you gotta stick with Ross's team. I mean, he put up 190 points week one. So without even looking at anything, it's Ross's team until it proves me otherwise.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's making much changes to his lineup. He's taken out Julio Jones. I wonder if my comment on GroupMe when I said I would have benched Julio Jones instead of played quarterback instead of Julio. He's got Julio on the bench now. You mentioned that Tennessee was going to rebound and they were going to put up some big points. I actually see Julio finding the end zone in this matchup against Seattle. But, yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with starting a quarterback. And again, Detroit's going to be filled with garbage time touchdowns. Hopefully it's just not too much garbage time where the backup's scoring points for them.
Yeah.
And Fred, I'll touch on his. He threw Lockett in there. I don't know why he didn't have him started. He did bench Saquon, which is ballsy and respectable because Washington, decent team, and he's still coming back from an injury. He only has 12 carries for 54 yards, and one of those was a 40-yard run, so he's kind of been stymied besides that and a couple of catches for 12 yards. Hopefully he gets back to his old self. He's fun to watch. But he's still got Nick Chubb, who's going to run all over Houston. And Mac Jones and Ben Roethlisberger guys are maybe high floors, but not too high ceilings. I feel like Rossett stays 2-0 and will remain the points leader going into week 3.
Yeah. Yep.
Last matchup. All right, last matchup, Steve and Grant.
I mean, good old Graham Gano getting him 20 points already. Like,
oh, wow. Yeah. Why kickers? Oh, my God. So stupid.
Dude, I couldn't even. I mean, I don't know what she is, but it wasn't even close. There were way more people that wanted to keep kickers than not. I don't remember. It shocked me.
That's sad.
Utterly shocked me. So they're here to stay. I don't think it's ever going away.
What are you gonna do? There's not much you can do, right?
No.
Just put it up for a vote next year. Yeah. But that gives Steve a good start to his day. He did not start Daniel Jones, which maybe over Tua. No, against Washington defense. But Daniel Jones has 29 points in fantasy tonight.
This is what Daniel Jones can do. But you know, but then he could just screw it up again. You know, he's unpredictable, unfortunately, and he's not a good NFL quarterback.
No, he doesn't take care of the ball enough, and that's not good for real NFL football and for fantasy.
But I will say it looks like he's got no turnovers tonight so far. So good on him.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize how heavily Steve is invested in the New York. I mean, just having three players on a bad team is probably not ideal. I think Grant rebounds big this week. I think we've mentioned it several times. Green Bay is going to have a monster game. Russ is still cooking. I think Russ just kind of wears down towards the end of the season. That's what he's done in the last couple of years. So he should carry him through early on in the season. Derrick Henry is not going to – you saw his floor. 9 points is his floor. He's one run away from scoring that. He can do that. He can score 9 points on one play any week. Deontay Johnson's a stud. Yeah, I think Grant runs away with this one.
I think Grant's team gets high points this week.
Oh, that's it. You should have done that with the prognosis. Hot take.
Well, add that to it.
I like it. All right, well, I am pretty sure that our audio was really choppy in the beginning because I was trying to watch the game on my computer while we were doing this. And I felt like everything was delayed.
Oh, was that why it was? It wasn't me?
Maybe, because I stopped it and it went away.
Yeah, so maybe.
So I apologize. I hope it doesn't sound too weird. You could definitely notice it because it was definitely like I would ask you a question and there'd be like a second or two of silence.
Yeah, because I couldn't hear anything, but. You know,
ooh,
a little amateur hour here. It's okay.
That's what we do. This is what it is. I think we reverted back to our old ways. But we should change the name though, right? Skokie's Talking.
Yes, we should.
I'll do that. I'll do that on the post production, and we'll go from there. We'll talk Thursday nights, and I'll try to get this stuff out to you Friday morning.
Yes, I'm listening on my way to work tomorrow.
Woohoo! What time do you go to work? I probably will be. I could probably get it out by 8:30.
Yeah, I usually get. I mean, don't do it on my card. I can send it anytime, but yeah, 8:30-ish.
I'll try to hustle, but I go to bed early, so this is past my bedtime.
Me too.
All right, buddy. Good luck this week. I would hate to see you go 0-2.
It's all right. It doesn't matter. You can still make the playoffs. It comes around 0-2 in fantasy. It's all good, especially with a 14-week regular season.
Oh, so, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Great. Crazy, crazy. All right.
All right.
Peace out. We'll talk. See ya. Aye, 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 aye.